Hello, welcome to Dailyish, episode 33. I'm your host, Chris Enns. This is Wednesday, August 27th. It's 13 degrees Celsius outside. Got down to 5 degrees, apparently, while I was gone here in our house. We came back to it was 17 degrees inside. Very cold. We actually had to turn on the furnace for a little bit in August just to take the chill off when we went to bed because it was so freezing in our house. Kids were freezing. Everybody was freezing. But luckily, it's all warmed up. It's warming up again. Summer isn't over yet, thankfully, but this isn't a weather podcast, as you know. Speaking of weather, this podcast is brought to you by Campaign Monitor, which I've mentioned a few times, and is an awesome company that supports good stuff, supports Dailyish with our podcasting efforts, and check out the results of their tools at goodstuff.fm/newsletter, for an example of how you can easily send out great-looking newsletters in very little time. Because I don't have a lot of time, and they make it easy to do that newsletter. First off, I want to thank everybody who has been letting me know, via Twitter mainly, about Burger King buying Tim Hortons. It's I appreciate your concern for my perhaps inability to hear news about, you know, one of the biggest brands in Canada. While I do live in Canada, obviously, I'd heard about it, but at the same time, it's funny to get all sorts of notes from folks who are concerned or whatever about the Tim Hortons brand that I buy coffee from on occasion. Who knows? We'll see what happens with that. I don't really have too many comments on Burger King and coffee and burger franchises. I try to avoid Burger King. For some reason, it's like a 1 in 10 chance of getting a good burger, I feel like, there. If they're made like to the specifications of the original Burger King, then generally they're good. But when you subject that recipe to a pimply-faced 17-year-old kid who is checking his iPhone while he's making burgers and throwing stuff on there, it loses a little bit in the translation, I guess. Fallout from my travel episode, the last pre-travel episode. We had a great trip out, 7 and 8 hours, whatever it is, out to Winnipeg area and back over the weekend for a wedding, family wedding, and great wedding. It rained right up until the moment before the wedding was supposed to start, and they waited a few minutes longer, and the sun broke out, and it was a beautiful day. So that's great. Congratulations to my cousin and her new husband. And thank you to all the folks who have sent in some thoughts and ideas on travel tips with kids, particularly. The Garth sent in a response of I had asked in the subject line of the question for the episode last time on Twitter of how do you do it with kids, and he had responded with you don't. But I know he had just moved across country in the States, so I know he does do it, but he just refused to provide details. Dave Mosher responded with no tech, or at the minimum used as a last resort, coloring pages, pipe cleaners, activities books, and establishing a pattern. And then his wife responded with more details appropriately enough, probably. Get this in the right order here. This last travel, 4,000 kilometers, we used the tech as bait. Actual nap equals 30 minutes of tech worked well for a 7 and 5-year-old who did not nap, 80% success rate. Also, embrace the creative mess. Rolls of tape, post-its, glow sticks can be very entertaining. Silly songs / audiobooks. And Evening Design on Twitter responded with, we do a bucket of old school too, including magnets and a cookie sheet to work on. Magnets amuse for a long time. Which is an interesting one. My wife had heard of that one. I hadn't. I don't peruse the Pinterest boards of travel tips for families that often lately, these days. But that's an interesting one I hadn't thought of, as magnets and cookie sheets of various sizes. We just don't have an old cookie sheet that we don't want to hand off to the kids to scratch up and destroy and whatever. Carrie, friend of the show, Carrie had responded with, rotate activity every hour. 1 hour iPad, 1 hour drawing Minecraft pictures, 1 hour reading a book, 1 hour counting cars coming the other way or whatever. I spy game. Then back to the start. Most hours will have at least 20 minutes of boredom in it or telling a Minecraft or other game story. So thanks to everybody for sending in those suggestions. I think those are awesome. All great ideas of how to get by. We did, like I had said, we did a combination of activity books, toys. Like they brought each, I packed up some toys, cars and tractors and superhero guys that they could just play with in the back seat. And then just a ton of books for our oldest. He's loving books, obviously, or not obviously, but he is. And that worked really well for the most part. We had obviously you get whiny a bit in a long car drive like that and stopping for lunch and stopping for potty breaks and stretches and getting out and remembering, in our case anyways, last time I know we did a trip, we kind of forgot to take our youngest, she's one, out of the car seat and let her just walk around a bit and kind of just let her and made her sit for a lot of the trip. And this time we just, even though it felt like it was going to be more hassle just to like make sure she doesn't get run over in a car by a car at a gas station or whatever, just, you know, took her out, let her stumble around a little bit, stretch her legs. It's part of that whole, like, as you have kids and seeing them as actual humans instead of just little things, objects to take care of and stick soothers in. But anyways, the trip went well, and nothing much to report there beyond that. I'd welcome future feedback on ideas you have on that. It's always something interesting, new ways of traveling with kids, and we actually have one system that we've developed, and this would be of use to anybody with a minivan or a larger vehicle, I guess. But our two boys, the 5 and the 7-year-old, sit in the very back of the van, and then our 1-year-old sits in the bucket seat in the middle row. And so it's, you know, for my wife sitting in the front seat with me, beside me, there it's tough to reach back and give things to them. So we have a pole, sort of a skinny metal pole from something else that we use, that she puts a little sort of basket in and sort of zip lines it back to them. They grab the stuff out of the basket and then throw the bucket container back up to her. And so it saves a lot of hassle. We developed this system a little while ago. She developed this. Can't take credit for it. She developed a system a little while ago, a couple trips ago, and it's worked really, really well for just passing things back, little cups of a snack or whatever, or games, or setting up an iPad for... They played a lot of Super Stickman Golf, actually. It was a great game that they really enjoyed on the iPad and using my iPhone. They could play together in race mode and against each other, sort of. And had a great time doing that. So that's little... pulley system. We were saying like it'd be awesome if a minivan somehow could had designed with she would love like lots of little hooks and places to snap things in. I'll post a little picture that she'd set up tried putting her iPad hanging between the mirror and the overhead thingy whatever in the van and clipping it in to sort of hang sort of in space like a heads up display for her to work at kind of her mobile office. But anyways, vans should come with more places to clip and attach things and clasps and all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't make it look as fun inside, but I'm sure a designer could figure out a way. And particularly a pulley system of some sort to send things to the back for people with young families. So Toyota, Honda, whoever, figure that out. All right, that's it for me this episode. Thanks for listening. I will hopefully get another one out this week. And be sure to check out, I'll put a link, Dropbox just updated their plans. If you've been shying away in tech news anyways, Dropbox has just updated their plans, $10 for a terabyte of space, lots of storage, and a few other neat things as well. Just breaking news this morning, I guess, as I recorded, that's kind of interesting. Oh, and I forgot to mention, for just a little prize reward thing for anybody who's traveling or just wants a new game. I'm putting photos of coupon app store codes for the game Threes. There's three codes for Threes, a great little numbers puzzle game. If you haven't played it already, go grab the code. First come, first serve. There's three of them there. Just take one for yourself and let someone else grab them. So there'll be a photo of them. You have to submit it to the App Store that way with iTunes or on your phone or iPad or whatever, and you can redeem it. It should work outside of Canada. I think it was the Starbucks coupon code. I grabbed a bunch of them one time when I was in there, and they expire at the end of September. So I already have it. Oh, sorry. It's valid only on the Canadian iTunes Store. So I guess that's the limitation of that. So Canadians, go. Now that you don't have... we don't own Burger King, you can get at least own Threes. See ya.